Good morning and welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. My name's Doug Arnold and I serve on the Hospitality Ministries team. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning. Although Easter Sunday was April the 4th, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in this 50-day season called Eastertide. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed, including an order of worship and links to our hymns. We also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. We hope you experience the joy of Easter as we worship together.
Greetings, my friends, and happy Easter. We continue in the season of Easter together to be Easter people, worshiping our God and proclaiming the good news of resurrection in our world. It's my joy to welcome those who are here in the sanctuary this morning and those who are joining us over live stream. We believe the Holy Spirit connects us all in worship, and we're glad to be together in God's love. If you are worshiping over live stream, we would love for you to let us know that you're with us. You can click on the link that's next to you in the chat, and that will take you to a form you can use to sign in. We have some good news to share with all of us this morning. We have a task force of folks we call our reopening task force. They're medical professionals, legal professionals, and others who've been advising us and helping us know what is safe and how best to go about the life of the congregation. And we met this past week and came to the decision that we can now hold 225 people in the sanctuary safely. And so we are raising the maximum numbers for our worship on Sunday, for weddings and for funerals, and we're excited about that. We will, for the next 2 weeks, continue to take RSVPs for worship, partly because we have confirmation, and that tends to be a larger service, and we want to make sure we stay under that 225 number. But starting May 16th, we will not be asking for RSVPs anymore, and we'll just see how that goes over the summer. We will always be continuing to wear our masks and maintain social distancing, but within those parameters, we have lots of opportunities for gathering in small groups and for worship. As we continue moving into what's next for us, we will, of course, continue to dedicate the best efforts we can to our live stream worship and experiences as well. And it takes 4 people for every worship service to do the sound and the cameras and the live stream, and we've had incredibly dedicated volunteers throughout this time of pandemic, and we need more as we add more services. So if you're interested in being part of that team, if you'll email Chase Benson or Shelley Kohlmeyer, their contact information is on our website, and you don't have to have any experience. They will train you, and the more people we have to volunteer, the more you'll have opportunities to worship in the sanctuary and alternate being on duty for those things. Our youth are gathering tonight at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6:30 for a photo scavenger hunt. So if you are anywhere between 7th grade and 12th grade, you're invited to come tonight for that time of fun. And finally, you may remember that we have we are participating in something called Project Thrive alongside 19 other churches in the urban core of Nashville of many denominations. We're on a 5-year journey together of exploring who we are and what God is calling us to do and to be in the community. And our Project Thrive leadership team has put out a survey for us. And hopefully, if you're a member, you got it in the email. If you would take just 5 minutes and fill that out in the next few days, that would really help us in our work. And then also mark your calendars for either Wednesday night, May 12th, or Saturday morning, May 15th, for a time to gather for conversation around who we are right now as West End and who is our community right now and who are we called to be in our community. We'll have more information about all of that in Friday emails and other sources. But now it is Sunday morning. It is our Sabbath day, and we're beginning a 3-week journey through the first letter of John, a letter that is all about love. So with hearts and minds open, let us prepare ourselves to hear the good news of God's love for us and God's call to love one another.
Thank you. worship God when we live lives of love. Christ set the example of what love is. As Christ lay aside his life for us, we are called to respond boldly to this command. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are freed from our captivity to sin and death. With gratitude for God's marvelous love for all the world, let us confess our sins, confident that we will receive mercy and grace. O loving Christ, we confess that we have struggled for generations with your command to love one another. When we are called to act boldly, we fall back on words instead. Forgive us for the times we have refused to help our siblings. Forgive us for choosing to surround ourselves in materialistic comforts so we don't have to see the hurting world around us. Forgive us for the times we forget to abide in you. You give us this commandment again today. May we respond boldly, receiving your loving and guiding spirit. May we act when there is a need. May we fight for truth and justice when the system is failing. May we be people of love, generosity, and conviction. May we believe in your mission and ministry so that we might continue doing the work you have started. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
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 Pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This lesson is from John 3:16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to take a special moment with the children, some who are here and some who are joining us over live stream. I want to show you something. This was a gift that someone gave to me. Now, I know from where you are, it probably just looks like a plain old white washcloth, doesn't it? But it's actually knitted by hand. And if you were really close, or if you ran your hand over it, you'd realize that stitched in there is a dog, an image of a little puppy. Now, this was knitted for me by a friend of mine. She and I both love dogs, and we used to get our dogs together sometimes. And I was getting ready to move away, and so she made this for me and gave it to me to say, I want you to remember that I love you. So I look at this washcloth and I think, I don't know, I don't knit, so I don't know how long it takes to knit something like this, but as she sat there knitting this cloth, she was thinking of me and praying for me. She put her love into action and gave me this gift. Our scripture reading this morning talks about love and putting love into action. That when we love somebody, we need to show them. Love is shown by how we treat people and the actions that we take. So I knew from this action that my friend loved me. And I wonder what actions you can take, what actions I can take that help people know that we love them or that help people know they're loved by God. Maybe giving a family member a hug, or maybe drawing a picture for someone that says, I love you and I drew this for you. Or maybe sharing food with someone. Or even as you walk down the street, just smiling and saying hello. And even if you're wearing a mask, people can tell with your eyes that you're smiling. All sorts of ways that we're meant to share love, to put our love into action. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for loving us. You love us and accept us just as we are, and we're so grateful. Help us to love other people as you love us. And help us to show our love for other people by sharing, by saying kind words, by drawing a picture or making something for someone. Other people need to know they're loved too. So help us to do that. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening. So I was driving to work the other day, and can I just say how happy it makes me to say that? I was driving into the office and starting to do that more and more pretty much every day. And it's such a gift to come to the church and to see my friends and colleagues. We actually got to have a baby shower for Nancy this week out in the courtyard in person. It was wonderful. The only downside of the opening up is that now there's a lot more traffic in Nashville. I don't know if any of you have been caught in it lately, but the traffic is picking up, which is a good sign that things are starting to return. But anyway, I was in a little bit of traffic, and I was sitting at a stop sign behind a pickup truck. And on this truck, the man had put a word, and it wasn't quite a bumper sticker. He had taken letters like you might use to put on a mailbox, and he spelled out five letters, real big letters, T-R-U-T-H, truth. Now, what would you think if you were behind that person in traffic? What do you think that driver was trying to convey? Well, I'm ashamed to say I jumped to some conclusions pretty quickly. I saw that word truth and I thought, oh boy, here we go. This was someone I'm imagining who had very strong opinions, most likely strong political opinions, that they're standing their ground and he knows what he believes, and if you disagree with him, well, then you're wrong, and that's that. That's what I saw in that word. And then I realized that there's something about that word truth that seems to be divisive nowadays. Why is that? Why would I have that reaction when I saw that word? I think there's a lot of controversy and conversation these days about what's true and where do you go for sources of truth? Who do you believe? What do you not believe? In an age when anybody can just start up a website and start putting out theories that other people buy into, how do we know what's true? As a parent now, I'm trying to teach our children, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's in a book doesn't mean it's true. Just because a political leader wearing a dark suit says it doesn't mean it's true. Just because your teacher says it or your preacher says it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. So you got to do your homework. You got to pay attention and research and figure out what are the sources you're going to go to. And can you find sources that might differ from each other to really get to the heart of what's true? Sometimes, especially in our day, it's confusing and hard to know what's true. 2,000 years ago, it was hard to know sometimes what was true. We find ourselves this morning overhearing a letter between someone who calls himself the elder. Now, the church has started to call him John, and so we call him John. These letters of John that come right at the end of the New Testament, between these letters and the book of Revelation, they're just 25 little verses in the letter of Jude. And we have this letter that this elder has written to a congregation or to a group of congregations who've gotten a little confused, and they're not really sure what's true anymore. You see, this elder and some others perhaps had founded these churches on their witness of Jesus Christ. They had taught these people in the congregation that Jesus was the Son of God, that he had lived and taught and died and was raised from the dead, and on that truth, these people could build their lives. But at some point, there were other teachers who came into the community and began to teach other things about who God is and what was going on with Jesus. And we can't really tell from the letters exactly what these others were teaching. But the elder writes this letter to respond to them and to remind the people in the congregation of the truth. And in this letter, in these letters of John, the truth is love. The truth is the love of God revealed in the life and teachings and death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And if it is not love, it is not God. And so he says it over and over again in this very short letter. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. It all comes down to love. I think that's one reason I love this letter so much. Because throughout my life, in those seasons where I've had struggles or I've had doubts or my theology is all confused, I've always been able to return to the grounding of this truth. That God is love. That God's love was perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ. That I am loved. And I'm called to love others. My neighbors, strangers, even enemies. And so the elder is reminding this congregation the truth of love. But what, we may ask, does he mean by love? what is this love that we're talking about? He makes it very clear in the verses we've heard. We must love in truth and in action. Not in word or speech, but in truth or in action. Love is not about just saying that we love people. It's not just saying God loves everybody unconditionally. Love is put into action. It is only love when it's put into action. It's not about feeling. You don't have to feel warm, fuzzy feelings to everybody in order to love them. In fact, the greatest love is acting in love toward those whom we may not even like. So love in action is doing what we can to bring about the well-being of another or the flourishing of others. And the best example we have of love, says John, is Jesus himself, who, even though he was God incarnate, even though he had all the power and the privilege this world could have offered, he laid it down for the sake of love. He gave his life away. And so that is our example. We are called to put aside our own power and privilege, to put aside our selfish concerns, and to work for the well-being of others and of all. But again, someone might ask, well, what does that look like? I can't do everything for everybody. How am I supposed to live out this kind of radical sacrificial love in my daily life? That is the question of a lifetime. It's a question that each of us who follows Jesus Christ takes up every morning. How do I love today? How do I give myself away in love in every interaction, in everything I do today? And it's not always easy to discern. What is the loving action in any circumstance? It's not always easy. A friend of mine gave me a question to ask that I have found very helpful over the years, and I'm struggling with what to do in a situation to say, what does love ask of me? Sometimes love looks as simple as a casserole the day after the funeral. Sometimes love is as simple as a kind word, eye contact, and a smile. Sometimes love looks like going down to Legislative Plaza and joining with others and calling for greater health care for all. Sometimes love looks like holding someone accountable and saying, you know, that was not okay, in an effort to bring about that person's well-being and flourishing. Sometimes love looks like saying no, when we realize that something that someone's asking for isn't really for their own good. It's not always easy to know what the loving and right action is. That's why we need prayer. That's why we need each other. It's exactly what church is, my friends. It's a learning lab for love. These are the people, these fellow believers, that we get to practice love with. We get to practice forgiveness when we mess up. We get to practice laying down our own preferences and privileges for the sake of someone else. We get to come together and read about the life of Jesus and study his teachings together and go out together in mission and ministry to the world and reflect on how we've experienced God's love through all of that. We need each other to grow in love, and we need to remember it's a lifelong journey, and I've got a long way to go, but I'm glad to have you with me on the journey. Saying I have a long way to go takes me back to that pickup truck on Wednesday morning. There I sat, judging that fella, assuming I knew what he meant and what he was saying to me and to all the world with that word truth. And then I looked up a little higher on his truck, and there was another phrase made with the same little gold letters simply said, "Peace, be still." And I just felt that coming right to me from the Holy Spirit. Shush your judging. Be still. Recognize that the truth of divine love does not divide us. It reminds us that we are all one, that we are all in this together, regardless of our opinions and whatever they may be. The truth of God unites us. And then as he began to turn, I saw one more word: love. I think the words on his truck sum up the letter of John for all of us today. So I thank God for my unknown neighbor in the pickup truck. And I thank God for all of you who help me see and live out God's love each and every day. Amen.
How do we know how to love? One of the ways is through the traditions of the church, the creeds that we have the opportunity to proclaim together of who we are and what we're called to. And so if you will stand in body or in spirit with me, turn to page 883 in your hymnal and proclaim together the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Be seated. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayer requests. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team, we will pray for you. If you're online, we'd love for you to go to the Contact Us page on our website and write your prayer request there. If you're here with us in person, please write down your prayer request and put it in the offering box in the back of the narthex as you leave. We are rejoicing with families and mourning with families this morning. We celebrate the birth of Anne Frances Coleman, who was born April the 2nd in Washington, D.C., to Rob and Katie Bowers Coleman. She is welcomed also by her big brother, Charlie Coleman, grandparents Nan and Greg Bowers, and Aunt Amy Bowers Myers. And we are sending our deepest sympathy to four families this morning: Laurel and Massey Hemingway and their family are mourning the death of her mother, Earlene Strickland, who passed away on April the 18th in Lyman, South Carolina. West End UMC music intern Scott Bronze and his family are mourning the deaths of his grandparents, David Villahem Blackburn, who passed away on April the 9th, and Kay McCullough Blackburn, who passed away on April the 16th. Tom Lease and his family are mourning the death of his wife, Liz Lease, who passed away Monday the 19th. And Jeff Ackerman and his family are mourning the death of his father, Foster Ackerman, of Lexington, Kentucky, who passed away April the 21st at the age of 100 years and 215 days. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Wise and grace-filled God, we give you thanks for all your gifts to us, for daily food, for health, for each breath we take, for the gifts of community and family. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed, O God, when we consider that it is in your nature to give yourself to us. As the scripture reads, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Yet our souls are weary, O God. It's hard to think about giving our lives for others when we see how great the need is, and we witness the terror and trauma all around us. And so we turn to you in intercession. We bring before you the concerns which have been weighing on our hearts. For the members of our families, church, and communities who need your healing, both physically and mentally. For the strength and tenacity of the movements of equality and justice. For the world as we continue to navigate the confusion, risk, and challenges of a global pandemic. Bless and encourage all those who feel like giving up. Be with and guide those who care for the sick, and draw near to those who are grieving. And yet, our prayers must move us to reach out in love and connection to others. Thank you for the reminder in this scripture and worship that, like Jesus, we must not only love with our words and prayers, but with our actions and in truth. Lead us, guide us, move us, and motivate us to act as you have done, loving unconditionally and sacrificially in spirit and truth. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As we come to the part of our service where we give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that the pandemic has affected each of us differently. If you are unable to give at this time, we understand. But if you are in a position to give or give more than usual, we encourage you to do so. This will help us continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. For those of you worshiping online, you can see that in the chat, there's a place to give. And for those of you in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex in the back of the sanctuary. As we give our tithes and offerings this morning, let us offer our hearts to a loving God.
to introduce you to some new folks who are joining. They're not new, they've been around a while, but they're joining today for the first time. I'd like to introduce you to Jonathan Garlett and Lucas Luttrell. Jonathan is a nurse anesthetist at St. Thomas Midtown, and Lucas is a nurse at NHC Hendersonville. Jonathan and Lucas, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Jonathan and Lucas are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are here in the sanctuary to greet Jonathan and Lucas out on the West Lawn following the service.
Thank you.
Love is our story, my friends. Let us go from this time of worship to tell the story of love in truth and in action. Amen.